And it's important that we understand that if we're really truly going to be giving advice to the young, and we have to be seasoned by the Lord so that we don't become puffed up and we don't give them the wrong counsel, but we give them God's counsel. And we can learn from the old if we're young. Don't let pride intervene your life.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Continuing our study of 1 Peter today, Roel will zero in on the central importance of humility and submission in the life of the believer. Whether you're young or old, called into full-time ministry or not, the Lord wants to use you mightily for His perfect purposes. Pride and self-interest will only get in the way. Stay with us here on Somebody Loves You Radio for a challenge to live devoted lives to God. Now, here's Roel Reese in the book of 1 Peter.
It's pretty amazing how Peter is writing to a church that has been through a lot, persecuted. But not only persecuted, they have been through the fire, and many of them have seen their children and their grandchildren tortured, burned, eaten by animals. And at the same time, they come to that place where you start thinking, well, if I'm a Christian, where is God in all this? I mean, think about all your circumstances, situations tonight here. How many times do doubts come into our minds when we feel like God is at a distance and things are happening and we feel like God is allowing these things to happen? How can God allow me to get hurt this way in my family? But then the answer comes that if we didn't suffer or went through those things, then we would never be strong and we would never grow in the Lord. Anyone that has ever suffered, man, knows God intimately. And when I was reading 1 Peter chapter 5 and coming to the conclusion of that, I was thinking how Peter, now one of the great elders of the church and pastor. Let's go back to chapter 5 for a moment and read verse 1 through 4 as Peter again is coming to the conclusion and he's talking now to the leaders, to the shepherds. The elders who are among you, I exhort, who I am also a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd or feed the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by constraint, but willingly, and not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, he says, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Now, as Peter is closing down, he really focuses and he targets the leaders. And you think of the leadership of that time and the leadership of today as we see so many distinct churches and distinct shepherds and elders and deacons and then the congregation and those that are put into a position of power where those that take advantage of the body of Christ on television, on radio, writing letters, and constantly begging for money and fleecing the flock of God instead of feeding the flock of God. Peter really rebukes those kind of shepherds. And Paul does too. Because there are those people that do not have a real heart for the people of God. They're not genuine shepherds of the flock of God. They don't have the heart of Christ. To them, it's a job. It's an opportunity to get money and to live the good life. But to be in the ministry, we need to understand that Paul says, and Jesus said, and Peter said, and James says it, and John said it, that it's a real calling and anointing of God by the Holy Spirit. It's a calling of God. Not just anybody can be in the ministry. Everyone has a ministry. If you're a doctor, if you're an electrician, if you're a plumber, if you're in the military, wherever God calls you to be in your profession, you are a professional and a Christian. And God will use you there. And what's really incredible and amazing is the way the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon that person that is available and useful in the kingdom of God and really wants God to use his or her life. And you know what's incredible is that as I look back at my life, I never ever wanted to be in the ministry. I never wanted to be a pastor or an evangelist. I never wanted to have a church. My profession was the martial arts. That was my profession and still is. And one of the great things about that is that I fought God and I said, God, I'm not going to give up what I want to be. But it wasn't until God began to work in my life that I didn't really have to give it up. He gave it all back to me when I submitted to him. And that's what we're going to be speaking about today. The next verse is on submission. Because there's a lot of times that people that want to be used of God, they lack the submission to God. The word submission is the word hupotasso in the Greek. We get our word, it is a military word, to be underneath the general, underneath the captain, the lieutenant, or whoever's in charge, you're underneath and you're submitted to them and to their orders. And so it's really important that we understand that Peter, being underneath the Lord Jesus Christ, writing to a suffering, tortured church, and many of the Christians that are standing before Caesar Nero, what are they doing? They're denying the faith. They're afraid to die. And so they're saying Caesar is Lord instead of Jesus is Lord. So Peter, in concluding his first letter, he wants to make sure that he's hitting the leadership, the actual pastors. And the pastors are to do what? They're to shepherd the people of God. They're to feed God's people, not fleece the flock of God. And not lording over the flock of God, but being examples to God's flock. Being examples like Jesus Christ. And I thought of so many things that have happened over the years concerning leadership and being with Pastor Chuck for 40 years, being on his pastoral board for 40 years and watching pastors and leaders in other denominations, including Calvary Chapel, that have been disqualified or they disqualify themselves. By not doing what's right and being self-willed and proudful, and then allowing Satan to come along and disqualify them and put them on the shelf. When God gives you the great opportunity, he gives you the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the talents to do that. So that you don't take the glory, but that people see that and go, man, this is the Lord for sure. And God gets the glory and the honor, and then you don't get proudful, and you don't get in a position where you have to really think, yeah, I'm really something, because we're not. It's the Lord. It's the Lord that has brought us here, even into this place. He's the chief shepherd that has called each one of us individually. And I can just picture my mind as Peter is writing this concluding letter in the first letter that he's writing. The second one will be even greater, only 3 chapters. But as he's writing in the second letter, he's going to spend one whole chapter, chapter 2, in speaking against the leadership of the church and all the false teachers and false prophets. What they do to the body of Christ. He spends a whole chapter exposing them, rebuking them. And I thought, it's really important for us as the body of Christ to constantly be connected to the source, which is Jesus Christ, the true vine. And it's neat because as Peter is writing, he says, not lording over them, those who are entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock. To be an example that people can watch and there's really nothing they can point their finger. That's blamelessness. That's integrity. Of course, people are going to say all kinds of weird things about you, but you can't. You know, Chuck taught me one thing. If you defend yourself, the Lord will never defend you. I like that. Let the Lord defend me. If it's true, then let God expose it. And if it's not, it will die. You don't have to defend yourself. The Lord will defend you. And I think it's really of importance because as he's writing, he reminds you in verse 4, not to forget there's a day of judgment coming when the chief shepherd shall appear. People forget that. That there's a day coming that it doesn't matter who you are, male or female, we're going to have to stand in judgment before the Lord, especially the non-believer. I would hate to be in the shoes of a non-believer. Because as believers, we already have stood in a trial. When we came to Jesus Christ, we repented of our sins. By faith, we came to know him, and he took our sins, and by his precious blood, he washed them all away. And through faith in Jesus Christ, he justified me, and he sanctified me, you see, and he redeemed my life. That's doctrinally. And Satan is the accuser of the brethren.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Reese. For Bible-rich resources to direct your daily life, visit us at somebodylovesyou.com. You can also email Roel your Bible questions and prayer requests. His address is Pastor Roel at somebodylovesyou.com, and he's happy to hear from you. Let's continue now with more from 1 Peter with Roel Reese.
And yet when you think of those people, when we stand before the Lord as Christians, we're not going to stand for sin. Get that out of your mind. What you're going to stand for as a child of God, according to Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 10, he tells you that the Bema seat of Christ is going to be the judgment where you're going to be judged for your work in the Lord. That's your giving to the Lord, your praying to the Lord, your witnessing to the Lord, your attending church every single week. And the way you did things for the Lord, and whatever the value may be of what you've done for the Lord, is going to be put into the fire. He gives five sources: gold, silver, wood, hay, and stubble. And he's going to cast it in. And the fire is going to take the value of whatever's in there, and is going to either burn it up or bring it forth as a reward. And then he says this: and there will be many that when the actual reward is put inside and brought out, there will be many that will receive nothing because there's no substance to it. They'll be saved as by the fire because salvation is the free gift of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So many people waste their gifts and talents in this world. And yet there's another world coming where we're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ. Think about that. That's why he says in verse 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And the crown of glory here is to shepherds, to pastors, to teachers. For teaching and studying and laboring in the word of God and being faithful to it and never fleecing the flock of God. Never living for self, but really being a shepherd of the flock of God. And as he's talking about this, now he comes into verse 5. And now what he does here is he's going to speak on the necessity of humility. And guess who he talks to? The young guys. Why? Because a lot of times young people have a hard heart towards elderly people, and they don't like to listen to them because, oh, you know what? They're not in tune. They're old. They're not in the style. We don't have to listen to them. We know better. And yet God says, man, you miss out in the nuggets of life when there's godly old people that can give you great advice. And it's really neat how life has a way of molding and shaping each one of us individually in our own personal lives. So what he does here is he's winding down the first letter of Peter to the church. He now is going to be sharing his counsel with the elders of the church. And what he's going to do here, he's not going to be addressing these young guys, these younger Christians, specifically about a subject which most people ignore and they don't really want to hear about that. And that is, be careful with pride. Be careful with pride. Pride will take you down fast. As God begins to use your life, and all of a sudden you begin to think, you know what, man, I'm a pretty good speaker. I'm a pretty good witness. I do things pretty good. When you start believing yourself, man, you're in trouble. Go back and look at the mirror. Don't forget who you really are. And it's really neat because what happens is that Peter is talking to these young people that God intends to use, but many times these young people that God will start raising up and using, they get puffed up. They don't want to hear counsel. They think they know better. And they have no experience. No experience at all. And that happens with parents and their children. If you have godly parents, listen to them. They know what they're talking about. Especially if they read the Word of God to you. And they're instructing you in a godly way. It's really important that we get this in our minds, because the thing about what's going on in the world today, I mean, people don't want to listen. And yet the word that he uses here for submission is hupotasso, and it's a military term used in Ephesians chapter 5, where husbands are to submit to what? Husbands and wives are to submit unto the Lord. To be underneath who? Underneath Jesus Christ, in order for your marriage to work. Or in order for anything in life to work, you have to be submitted to Christ. Otherwise, it won't work. So the subject's on submission. And just as we said earlier, the elders here were men that were held in the office of a bishop or a pastor in the New Testament. And that term also may be including others, mature believers in the body of Christ, who have held a lesser position in any kind of a ministry or leadership position. That's what he's talking to. Talking to the leaders in the church and those that are rising up into leadership to make sure they understand who Christ is and never, never, never get carried away and say, this is my ministry, and you get territorial. Oh, be careful. Be careful. Number one, God doesn't give you anything, but God trains you and he only gives it to you. No, he loans it to you and then he'll take it at any time he wants to. It's not yours. He's the one that calls. He's the one that anoints. He's the one that opens the doors. He's the one that closes the doors. He's the one that sends you out or the one that keeps you back. The Lord. That's what Peter's bringing out here. And he wants to teach these young guys, man, you guys, listen to the elders, man. They're seasoned. They know what they're talking about. They've been around for a while. And it's important that we understand that if we're really, truly going to be giving advice to the young, and we have to be seasoned by the Lord so that we don't become puffed up and we don't give them the wrong counsel, but we give them God's counsel. And we can learn from the old if we're young. Don't let pride intervene in your life. Man, Satan is the author of confusion. You know what it says? It says that pride is so powerful that Satan himself, in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, 9, let me read it to you. Through verse 12, this is what he says. And so the great dragon was cast out of the serpent of old, called the devil, and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night have been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, all you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that his time is short. Wow. Satan. And when you look at the Bible, his character is described in three ways. Number one, he's described as a deceiver. Revelation 12, 9. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil, Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out down to the earth. His angels were cast out with him. Secondly, he's the father of lies. He's a liar all the time. John 8, 44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks, he's always lying. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Notice that. Satan. And thirdly, he's the adversary. 1 Peter 5:9, resist the devil steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Satan, the liar, the deceiver, the one that wants to kill people.
Well, we hope you've been encouraged by the assurance that in every season of your life, God has perfect plans and purposes. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Ries. Today's lesson is being made available to you in its unedited form for a donation of $5 or more. If you'd like to get a copy, just call us at 800-634-9165. When you contact us, mention today's study from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Now, as you look to Christ to direct your steps for His glory, we'd like to tell you about Raul's entire in-depth study of 1 Peter. This 42-lesson series is available on either CD or USB. Further exploring the Lord's faithfulness to guide you through trials and temptations, you'll see how humble surrender can bring beauty from ashes as you walk in obedience to God's will. To purchase Raul's 42-part 1 Peter series, connect with us at SomebodyLovesYou.com or call us at 800-634-9165. We'll send you the CD set for $63 or the thumb drive for just $42. That's 800-634-9165. You can also write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. The Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel is a hub of biblical instruction with live-streamed Bible teaching as well as podcasts of past radio programs. You can also join Raul on the channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific for Straight Talk, featuring timely guidance for godly living. And to keep the Bible at your fingertips, download our Somebody Loves You app. This ministry is fully listener-supported. Thank you for partnering with us in our mission to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Next time, we'll return to 1 Peter for a look at the value of waiting on the Lord's leading and provision in our kingdom-building service, making sure our plans don't overtake His perfect will. Here's Raul with a closing comment.
And yet, Peter is informing us that as he's talking to these young guys and he says these elderly people that are in the ministry or those that have wisdom, make sure, young people, you listen to them. Learn from them. Soak it all in. It's going to help you in your ministry. is going to help in your life. It's going to blow you away, what God intends to do. Why? Because God loves you. That's why here in verse 5, he says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be and submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Why? Because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He took it from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. The quote from the Proverbs. Who did he say? Notice, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The humble are always exalted by God, not by man. The proud are always taken down, and they take themselves down because they think they're better than everybody else. And they don't give the glory to Jesus Christ. May God help us to be humble tonight.
I am falling in love.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.